Welcome to Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and ways to help prepare students to thrive. We'd like to give a big thanks to Wharton Smith Incorporated, the sponsor for today's episode, Shaping Future-Ready Learners Through Adaptive Leadership. More than ever, adaptive leadership is a model that equips learners with skills that are required to succeed in today's workforce. This is the ability to learn as we go, adjust to change, and create solutions together that meet people where they are. And there's no question that students are facing a rapidly changing world. The Education Foundation of Sarasota County is rising to meet these emerging needs and recently launched its Future Ready Scholars Program to help prepare students for a meaningful life beyond high school. Heading up this program is the Education Foundation's Director of Student Programs, Dr. Anaya Walker, who will be talking with Jennifer today about the Future Ready program, how it employs adaptive leadership, and the results we're already seeing with students in its first year.
Anaya, I am so happy to have you on today's podcast, and I have to just share with the listeners what a joy it has been to have you on the team. You come with such energy and just vitality and a real strong passion for the work, as we do oftentimes with folks that are guests on our shows. We always want to kind of hear a little bit about what motivates you, and I know you have an amazing story. So can you give us just like a little sneak peek about your background and what brought you here and what gives you the greatest joy in this work?
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I would say my journey started very young, born and raised in Tampa, and always had a strong support system in my life, which is a huge privilege. So from my family, church family, you know, friends in my neighborhood, and then more importantly, I was exposed early to student support services. So I was, you know, privileged to go to college prep, middle and high school. I also was a member of the College Reach Out program based at USF Tampa all throughout high school. And then I transitioned to my undergraduate institution through a Summer Bridge program. So lots of familial support, community support, and then programmatic support as well.
So you really have had a lifetime of the difference, the impact people pouring into you makes.
Certainly.
And so how are you seeing that showing up in the work that you do today as the director of student programs?
Which is almost coming up on a year, which is insane to think about, but a very exciting year. I would say I balance that by a couple of things. Taking a moment to have that empathy, remembering that for many of these students, I was in their place physically sitting at a desk, receiving help from a coach and other professionals. Remember to be data driven, but then also remembering what I've learned in my practice, you know, coming from a higher education background, now exploring the beauty of the nonprofit space. But a couple of things, again, just remembering my own experiences, being patient with the students, and then constantly listening to the students through surveys, informal conversations, their families as well. So a lot of different avenues to make sure I am making informed decisions.
So that actually brings us to a really good point. So you're overseeing and helped us to develop in partnership with your team for sure. And a lot of input from community members that preceded your arrival even, but the Future Ready Scholars Program. And we want to talk about that. But before we talk about the kind of the program mechanics, let's talk a little bit about kind of what drove that. And that's really something that we tie back to what we call adaptive leadership. And you were just kind of touching on that, because adaptive leadership has a lot to do with adapting to the changes, listening to those other stakeholders, and creating relevancy in an uncertain world. So when you think of that kind of principle of adaptive leadership, how does that apply to the Future Ready Scholars Program?
That's a great question. I think having a passionate team like we have, who is staying up to date on changes happening not only locally at the state and at the federal level, so that we can make sure we're providing students and families with up-to-date information, adapting to the needs of the students in the programs, whether it be, you know, working with community partners to make programs more accessible, whether it be shifting to programs that historically may have been in person to virtual formats to reach more students, taking the time to collect formal feedback from students, and then adapting where necessary. necessary. So even with our first college tour, you know, being able to provide access to students from both North and South County as far as the transportation. But then at the same time, we took feedback from the students and we know that they had an amazing experience at FGCU, but they wanted to go to a larger institution. And so adapting to that, even today, our team went to an event this morning to learn about changes happening in the Florida State University systems, which impact our students. So again, everything from test prep changes to application changes, FAFSA, being able to move the needle, but also meet the students where they are.
That is a great description of that. It sounds like you are really keeping like your ears to the ground.
Yes.
To meet the needs of the students. And so help our listeners understand, what is the Future Ready Scholars Program and what's the end goal? Why are we doing this work?
We are doing this program to ensure that each student in our program walks away from their high school with not just a high school diploma, but a plan for life after high school. And that could look like a variety of pathways. It could be a university. It could be trade school. It could be a high value certificate. But we want to ensure our students are prepared to thrive in the workforce and thrive in the world. And they need a plan, a clear plan that they co-create with one of our coaches in order to make that happen.
So what makes this program unique and how is it different than what they may or may not get in the schools or may not get in an after-school program? What makes Future Ready Scholars Program really stand out?
I think it's going to be the personalized support that they can receive from our dedicated team. We have a great team of coaches as well as a scholarship manager. We even have one of our resiliency coaches as our mentoring manager. And I believe it's the personalized support that these students receive and the deep relationship that our team has the ability to create. These schools, they range in sizes that we serve, but many of them are large public high schools. And so when it comes down to, you know, counselor ratios, there's a lot of students who need help. And we have the opportunity to develop deep relationships, work with these students year after year. They have an opportunity to join this program and stay throughout the duration of high school. But it's the opportunity to start day one. You know, where do you want to be after high school? Helping students explore interests, values to help them get there, connecting them to resources and relationships like our community partners, like admissions officers when we do our college tours, and really making sure the students have that personal autonomy as well to make decisions about their future.
Sounds really terrific. So can you give us a story, give us a success story, walk us through maybe one student that's going through this program and how it made a difference in his or her life?
I mean, with our team of coaches who work very closely with the students, I'm thankful that we have lots of success stories. I vividly remember back in February, we had a Future Ready Day, which we hosted at Northport Public Library. We had several students and families come out to grab resources and meet our team and learn more about the steps needed to be successful for the duration of their senior year. And we actually had a student, and they were not scripted to say this, but when we were promoting our workshops that we offer free throughout the year to students in this program, such as SAT, ACT testing, this student stood up and was excited to share how, you know, they had a particular score in their ACT before they came out to our workshop, and they walked away with 4 or 5 additional points after attending our testing workshop, which we know also unlocks scholarship dollars, access to Bright Future funding as well. So improving that score was huge, especially knowing that he attributed to it the support he received at our ACT workshop.
That's a great
and
example.
That student also is now in their first semester of a local university here. So they've now transitioned out of Future Ready, earned several scholarships, and are now enrolled in post-secondary education.
That's terrific. And the goal is we want to see them graduate. And
yes.
Yeah. And I think that's something that as an organization, we are also holding ourselves accountable for, is that we want to make sure that they not only have the tools and resources to launch, but we're tracking them through that attainment level.
Absolutely. It's important to see the follow through and to continue to remind students to utilize their resources, which for them, once they're in their, post-secondary education spaces, the resources and who they go to may look different, but we want them to know that we are still a resource for them.
One of the things that I've really been excited about is seeing the way you bring your level of creativity to the work as well. And such that we know many of the students that are participating in these programs are facing barriers and may not make effective transitions or may hit roadblocks and things like that. Share a little bit about the Summer Bridge program that you launched and kind of what were some of the results that we saw because of it?
So Summer Bridge program took place this year in June. It was June 16th through 19th. We intentionally hosted it at the Suncoast Technical College, the North Fort campus, because there is a high need there. And we hosted that program to provide some additional support to our rising juniors, rising seniors, and even recent graduates with that extra time over the summer, because a lot of learning is lost during the time when students don't have that intentional support. But what was important was that a lot of students left feeling more confident, because we did have several students in the Bridge program who had just finished walking across the stage from their high school, but still were not confident about their future. And looking at some of the feedback we received from these students, they felt more confident about finding a plan. Some even said that they previously felt like it was too late for them, but after going through our Bridge program, they realized it's not too late for them. It was also great to work with students who were already enrolled in post-secondary ed, but still had several steps that they were unsure about. Everything from enrolling in their classes at their institution to finding the textbooks they needed. And an advantage during this Bridge program is our amazing team was able to break these students out based on need, right? Whether it's I'm a rising junior, I've just graduated, but still need a plan, or I just graduated and I have a plan. And then diving further into those specific needs, walking students through job applications, bringing in admissions officers, like someone from STC gave them a campus tour. They got to talk to students in the nursing program. They got to see the skills lab. They got to receive information from USF about their admissions process. So it was awesome. It was impactful. But I think the biggest takeaway was that students realized it's not too late for me. I actually feel more motivated now that I know all these resources are here.
Anaya, that was a great example of the Summer Bridge program that you brought in. I think there's a lot of also practical truth in how you brought and you bridged the introduction of this Summer Bridge program because of your own backstory. And so can you just elaborate a little bit more on why you felt the Summer Bridge program was such an essential piece of our program?
As a first-generation college student, when I graduated from high school, which would have been in May of that year, I had already been accepted into a Bridge program. It was nice because this was a Bridge program that automatically accepted you, even if you were delayed or deferred from the actual institution. But in this CARE program and this Bridge program, it was about 6 weeks long. It was impactful because it got me out of my comfort zone. So I moved away 4 hours away. I think I might have been familiar with a couple of students from social media because they had us in a couple of groups, but I didn't really know anyone, you know, had help moving in. They had a great team of peer leaders who helped us move in and get us excited. But it was helpful for a couple of reasons. Number one, I got a chance to be on campus at Florida State University several months before fall, which is when thousands more students arrive. So I got a chance to find out, you know, where everything was. They had mixers with us. So we had like faculty mixers. We got to meet the head of different departments. They would also have almost like real talk conversations just about what to expect in college, how to stay safe on campus and off campus. The nice thing too was the peer engagement. So throughout the 6 week, it was over 300 students in the Bridge program, but they had you in these small groups of about 15 to 20. And that was your core group. We did everything from a service project, celebrating each other throughout the summer for different occasions. And then you would have required meetings together. And something I distinctly remember from my Bridge program is that we were required to study. We actually had to punch in and punch out either in a residence hall that they provided for us for free, no cost housing for that summer, but we did have to study. It was certain hours of the day, but to walk in not knowing what to expect 4 hours away from home, I walked away feeling excited about the fall. I walked away with a core group of my friends, even ones outside of that peer group. I walked away already having done a service project, you know, for my institution. And I walked away knowing that I had people to come back to. I think that's the huge one. Again, the peer support, the required study hours, the assistance with my class registration, finding a job, you know, peer leadership. My peer leader even gave me a ride to the grocery store. I still remember that because she didn't have to do that. That wasn't her job description, but she knew I needed help. She took me to the grocery store. And again, I don't forget those moments because that was my first semester of college and essentially the first impression of my institution on me.
So Naya, I've got another follow-up question for you because that's a really good story and it shows how all the technical aspects of this transition really helped you succeed. I want to know from you personally, what drove you? What got you to make the choice to pursue these things? What advice would you say to your younger self or to the students who are looking to embark and all they know is, I just want something better. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. What advice would you give them?
So a couple of things I would say. I would say what kept me motivated was that the early intervention. So, you know, I think, again, I have to recognize my privilege. I did go to private schools. Classes were smaller. So attention when it came down to college counseling was different. And I do recognize that. But I will say I also was involved in my community outside of school. So I would highly recommend young people get involved. It could be neighborhood. It could be church. It could be being a lifeguard at the local pool. But just find something to give back to. It could be paid or unpaid, but being a part of different communities is how I make connections. So for example, in high school, when I joined the College Reach Out program, which even serves kids in middle school, I honestly wish I did it in middle school. But in high school, being in that program introduced me to so many other, you know, businesses. And I was able to get my first summer job because I was in crop. I got a chance to do a summer residential program and live on campus at USF every summer. But I wouldn't have had those opportunities if I wasn't in it. So I would say start young. So if at least in middle school, maybe get involved with some clubs at school if you can't do too much outside of school. Find mentors. I didn't realize that these people around me at that age were mentors, but they were. I was, you know, passionate about mentorship before I knew what it meant. But if you can find mentors, and a lot of times for young people, they'll find them by being involved. It might be their coach. It might be they're in a dance team at church. It may be, again, they are, you know, volunteering in their neighborhood. But the more they get involved, the more they meet other professionals doing good work and can be mentors to them. And then any type of program they can be in. So again, if they're in Sarasota County in high school, put them in the Future Ready Scholars program. I would say any of that will help me. And what keeps me motivated is seeing the long-term impact I have on students. And I think the, you know, immediate gratification is cool, but when you look back and it's like a year or two from now and you are, you know, running into students who used to mentor, who used to work with you, who you helped apply to grad school, and you see them on the other side, that's what lets me know, like, I'm doing the right thing. I'm in the right place at the right time.
That's great. Well, the right leader to run this program too. So getting back to the Future Ready Scholars Program, it sounds also like the Future Ready Scholars Program has varying points of entry, so that whether you may be a freshman or you could be someone who graduated from high school and now you're coming back and saying, I don't have a plan. How can I get engaged in these resources? So can you speak to kind of what is the eligibility of for students to be a part of this program, and what grade do they need to be in, or what kind of things must be on their criteria?
That's a great question. So this is a program that is for, we're looking for highly motivated students who are in high school attending Sarasota County Schools. We're not evaluating students, for example, on their current GPA, but we are looking to support them and help improve that GPA if it's not where they want it to be. We also are looking for students, again, that emphasis on highly motivated, because I've described a lot of things so far, and we want the students to want to take advantage of them. We want them to want to go to the campus tours and come out to career excursions. We want them to sit with a coach and work one-on-one about their goals and co-create a plan. So whether it is they are interested, whether they are motivated because they may be the first doing this, maybe they're motivated because their family has a culture of, you know, having a plan set for life after high school, whatever their motivation is, we want them to be excited, and we want them to bring their friends along as well. So yes, whether they are just entering high school in ninth grade, still figuring things out, or they have just, you know, it's senior year, the beginning of the start of their senior year, we want to work with them, get them access to relationships, the resources, and ensure that they have a plan after graduation as well.
That's great. And so when we speak about highly motivated, would it be fair to say that it's even the student who doesn't know what they don't know, they just want something better?
Yes. Yes. The students who are curious, the students who sometimes you don't even know what to ask, but you can tell they're curious because of their body language. You can tell they're curious because of maybe the types of clubs they've shown interest in at their high school. Maybe they're a student who goes to their student success center all the time. Maybe they're at a high school that doesn't have one. I think they are motivated to receive personalized support to take it even further. I think that is what's going to be a driving factor. So they, you know, when you look at our materials, about our workshops, about the types of topics our coaches can assist with, about the types of excursions, I think if these are students who see that information and they see themselves, they can see themselves thriving in that, I think they're the perfect person to refer to join.
That's terrific. And then when we think about the program elements of the Future Ready Scholars Program, you're also leaning on some partnerships. We're even looking at like prototyping some things, some, you know, I would say experimenting, but taking a small, you know, program of promise, like with Peter Morgan, And we're trying to say, you know what, this is something we might be able to test here and scale. So can you give us an example of something like that, that you feel excited about, that gives you hope, that you think would be really neat for these kids to know that it's going to give them access to what?
That's a great question. I would say, again, an advantage of this program is that we have some creativity to build things out. I would say from us, you know, prototyping this past school year with CLT workshops. I know we have historically focused on SAT and ACT, like most other probably organizations, but, you know, receiving feedback from our school district partners that more students are taking the CLT, which is the classical learning of tests, doing some research on it, finding a partner in a community who could be leading these workshops for us. That was one example of trying something new for a group of students, knowing that the CLT could also be used to help these students earn scholarships and admission into college. One example. Another example you've mentioned before, but working with a partner, a donor, to create some programming for our students who are already enrolled in post-secondary education, essentially our Future Ready Scholars alumni. Now that we have a group of students who've experienced the program, who've transitioned out and are now activating their plans for life after high school, still having a way to keep them connected formally, and then still recognizing that needs don't just go away, right? Just because you walked across the high school stage or you got your acceptance letter, that doesn't always change the need as far as the resources and relationships they need to persist in post-secondary education.
That's terrific. Yeah. I'm just so excited about what the program offerings have. And certainly, Anaya, we want more students to be a part of it. So if a student wanted to find anything out about it, we would direct them to our website, mm-hmm. Which is, of course, I say this on every podcast, but it's www.edfoundationsrq.org. What gives you, like, what are you most hopeful about? What do you see kind of in the future for Future Ready Scholars program that you're most excited about?
I would say I am most excited about diving deeper into supporting families of the Future Ready Scholars. I know based on the research and based on my own experiences working with families, especially in higher ed, that they are key drivers of their student success and decision making at this age. As much as we want to empower these students to make their own choices, the reality is they lean on their families for that additional guidance. And so I think the more we can bring families into the fold, listen to their needs, tailor programming to families, I think that is going to help improve our overall outcomes as far as who joins the program, as far as who's engaged in the program, and then also seeing these students all the way through to the end, inviting their families to come out to some of those end of the year celebrations, especially for the graduating students. So I'm actually excited about that. Shameless plug, my bachelor's degree is in family and child science, went to school wanting to be a teacher and chose to work at a daycare in undergrad because I knew it would give me more experiences with families. So I'm excited to see what we can do, especially knowing we have the support of Planet Sarasota and family work groups that they have developing as well.
Gosh. And if you could wave a magic wand, mm-hmm. what would be the one thing that could really benefit the Future Ready Scholars program?
That is a great question. If I could wave a magic wand, I would say, honestly, being able to have a dedicated transportation that is just for our programming. Mm-hmm. So that might mean over the years expanding to after school pickup. That might mean offering more than one college tour throughout the year. And certainly giving students access to engage with more businesses and community partners for career exploration. But if we had our own dedicated transportation, I think that would alleviate many things for students who and families who access is an issue.
That is a bullseye answer. So thank you for saying that, Anaya. It's so interesting for those listeners kind of tuning in today. If you've been working in the underserved community, you know that transportation is a significant barrier. For those of you who may not be aware of that, that is probably the most common thread of a obstacle. We hear youth serving organizations here, even the school districts here, transportation is key. And so finding and ensuring that there's reliable transportation to get them to wherever for that access mm-hmm. is really critical. So I appreciate you bringing that up. So nice magic wand answer. That was good. That was not prepped in advance. I could tell I caught her off guard.
I just think about the questions I receive. I think about the topics that come up when we're out in the community talking to families, and transportation is a big one.
You know? It sure
so
is.
Just taking that mental note and also thinking about what I know can help improve the program.
Well, we certainly are just in the infancy of the program. This is our second year for a cohort model of the work that we've been doing for several years, but certainly under your leadership, Anaya, we are really making some significant inroads, and your team is a strong team. And so I would encourage any student or family out there that's interested in finding out more, learning more, engaging in the program, you truly can reach out to Anaya directly or any of the coaches, and they'll get you onboarded and equipped and engaged in this program just right away.
I would agree. The team is amazing. A lot of passion. We come from different backgrounds, and most of our team are bilingual, some even multilingual. So I think so many skill sets and knowledge levels that we come together and make a very strong team.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's been wonderful, Anaya, having you on the podcast. Normally, you're just racing around all over the county trying to support and serve these students. So I just appreciate having, you know, these 20 minutes with you for our listeners to learn more about the Future Ready Scholars Program. So thank you for being here today.
No problem. I'm excited to see what we do in the future.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And I also want to thank today's sponsor, Wharton Smith, for your support of not only today's episode, but for the Education Foundation and the students that we serve. Again, if you want to learn more about the Future Ready Scholars Programs, I already gave you our website. Again, it's edfoundationsrq.org. And I hope you'll tune in to other podcasts wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in to today's episode of Education Conversations.